The topic came up in the immediate aftermath of the self-outing of Edward Snowden, the Booz Allen Hamilton employee who says he was the one who leaked classified details of an NSA surveillance program to media organizations. As Senator Dick Durbin, the chairman of the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Defense, called the defense secretary and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to testify about the budget and sequestration, he used Snowden to reignite the ongoing battle over the cost efficacy over government civilians versus contractors.
The story that's told is that he was a high school dropout, that he didn't finish his military obligation, though he attempted, and dropped out of community college. And it's also reported that he was being paid in the range of $200,000 a year as a contract employee. Recent reports have again emphasized that the average contract employee costs 2 to 3 times as much as the average DOD civilian employee. But then if we take a look at the civilian workforce in the Department of Defense, here's what we find. There's not been a civilian pay raise since 2011.
In DOD, most of those civilians will soon have their pay cut by 20% while they endure 1 day per week furloughs for the remainder of the year. But Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel says the sequestration cuts prompting those furloughs certainly won't hold the government contracting industry harmless.
We are currently reviewing all contractors, all the contracts we have. We have no choice, for all the obvious reasons. Contractors are part of any institution. We need them, certain skills, certain expertise. But there's no question that we're going to have to make some rather significant adjustments, which we are. I don't disagree with any of your general analysis on contractors. I think when you look at the buildup over the last 12 years, and I was in this body, during a significant amount of that, and as that buildup occurred and the money flowed in, there will come a time, and it is now, where we're going to have to make some hard choices in the review of those.
Undersecretary of Defense Robert Hale, DOD's comptroller, says as distasteful as he finds the civilian furloughs, they'll only represent about $2 billion of the $37 billion the department will have to shave from its spending in 2013. The majority, he says, will come from contractors, including service contractors.
We're going to see a drop in contractors. I don't know yet how much because the year isn't over, but I think there will be a sharp drop.
Mr. Hale, do you dispute this finding that the average contract employee costs 2 to 3 times as much as the average DOD civilian employee?
No, it sounds about right. But let me say, whether or not a contractor or civilian is cheaper or better, it really depends on the circumstances. There are some cases where we simply don't have the skills in the Department of Defense that we need, or it's a short-term job and wouldn't make any sense to grow them. Audit readiness, an excellent point. I'm hiring a lot of contractors because they know how to do audits. We don't yet. In other circumstances, if you're going to have the job over a long period of time, probably better off. It's probably cheaper to have a civilian government employee do it.
But lawmakers remain unhappy about the fact that DOD still can't account for how many contract employees work for the department, despite a provision in the 2008 Defense Authorization Bill that it develop a reliable inventory of those workers. The Pentagon plans to bring a department-wide data system online next year to collect manpower data from service contractors. DOD components will begin supplying data on most of their service contracts by 2016, according to the Government Accountability Office. But Hale acknowledges that as of today, there is still not an accurate count.
I know it sounds bad, but let me tell you why that's partly true, and then I'll give you the best number we have. And it's partly true because if you do a fixed-price contract, the contractor has no obligation to tell you how many people are doing it. They just do the work, and if they do it satisfactorily, you pay them. We are in the process now of asking all our contractors, probably at some expense to the government, to tell us how many people, even if it's a fixed-price contract, so we'll know better. But roughly, we've got about 700,000 service contractors right now is our best current estimate.
With sequestration now in place, Hagel says besides finding savings in the civilian and contractor workforces to offset sequestration, the department also desperately needs Congress to give it permission to cut its own overhead spending on items such as military base infrastructure, unneeded weapons systems, and health care spending.
Hard choices, Mr. Chairman, will have to be made over these next few years. In the past, many modest reforms to personnel and benefits, along with efforts to reduce infrastructure and restructure acquisition programs, were met with fierce political resistance, and they were never implemented. We are now in a different fiscal environment. New realities are forcing us to more fully confront these tough and painful choices. And to make the reforms necessary to put this department on a path to sustain our military strength for the 21st century and meet these new and complicated threats, we will have to do things differently.
In one of those areas, healthcare spending, DOD has asked Congress for several successive years for permission to shift part of the tab it pays for retiree healthcare to retirees themselves in the form of higher fees. Hagel says DOD's costs for the TRICARE system mirror the steep rise in expenditures for Medicare and Medicaid. Healthcare now consumes 10% of the DOD budget.
We can continue to play out the kind of benefits we have now, but what that's going to mean is a much smaller force, because we're not going to be able to afford the same kind of benefits. What we're proposing, Senator, is modest increases. By the way, it doesn't affect any of the active duty. Still, even if we got those, that benefit package, and rightly so, by the way, would probably be still the best benefit package that I'm aware of anywhere. We've got to do this, or at least start thinking about it and get serious about it, because we're just not going to have the resources to sustain it out through the years that we're making these commitments.
Hale says without the retiree enrollment fee DOD requested this year for the TRICARE system, DOD would have to find savings in other areas. Translated directly into end strength, he says that would mean 25,000 fewer troops. When the House Armed Services Committee passed its version of the 2014 Defense Authorization Bill last week, it explicitly rejected several of DOD's cost-saving proposals, including military base closures and the TRICARE fees. On the Senate side, North Carolina Republican and Air Force reservist Lindsey Graham has been one of the few lawmakers willing to express support for those fee hikes.
I want a generous benefit, but I want a sustainable benefit. Do you agree with me that TRICARE is not sustainable?
I believe if we're going to sustain it, we're going to have a much smaller force and one that's less modern, and I think that's not the balance that we want.
Well, we're not going to fight our enemies with a good health care plan. So,
said a better senator.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.